Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. We're holding one third of the way up. It's two thirds of the way down. We got all the way to the two dots right there, which is right in the middle of the big lines. And so the Mishnah continues. And here we have a machloket in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Maaser sheni bein bishogeg bein bemezid lo kidesh. Divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, apparently maaser sheni is not considered to be your own. You have a right to eat it in Yerushalayim, but you cannot use it for transactions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, it's not true. It's yours. The only thing is that bishogeg lo kidesh, which doesn't make any sense. We'll have to figure out why in the world bishogeg wouldn't be kodesh. But I mean, you can see there's only one possibility, which is that bishogeg, there's some type of kiddusha b'taud. Had I known it was maaser, I never would have wanted this to be a kiddusha. So we'll have to figure out why that's true. But b'mezid, if you know what you're doing, there's nothing wrong with using maaser sheni, because maaser sheni is your own money anyway. So where did Rabbi Meir get the idea that maaser sheni does not belong to you for any use that you want? Omer v'acha b'reda rava mishmei de gemara. Rav Acha brings now a tradition that he had, that is based on the pasuk of V'chol Ma'asar Ha'aretz, Mizera Ha'aretz B'pri Ha'etz, Lashem Hu Kodesh Lashem. So Lashem Hu means that it belongs to the Lord, and therefore it's not yours. That's how we have to understand it. Otherwise, what's the meaning here of the repetition, Lashem Hu Kodesh Lashem? It says, Lashem Hu V'lo L'kadesh Bo Isha. You can use it, eating it, l'shem, the kedushas ma'aser, but not to use it for other purposes, like marriage. And what about trumat ma'aser, where it also uses the same language? Kein tarimu gamatem trumat Hashem. There it calls it trumat Hashem, which, I mean, by the standards that you just mentioned, trumat Hashem should mean it belongs to the Lord, and it's not yours to use. And yet it says, b'ferush in the Mishnah, if it's not, HaMekadesh, the correct word over here is betrumot, with any type of truma, which would include either truma, meaning truma gedola, trumat maaser, which is the tenth that's taken of the tenth of maaser, says same dinner truma, chala, which has this. So these are all types of truma. So someone who uses trumot to be Mekadesh and Isha, Mekudeshet. Now how do you explain that if it says trumat Hashem? Says the Gemara, you missed the point. It's not the fact that it's referred to as the Lord's truma. It's that it was maaser la Hashem, to the Lord. Trumat Hashem just means this is the mitzvah to take off that was given by God. Doesn't mean it belongs to him. But by maaser it says to be given la Hashem. All right. I mean, if that's the standard, how do you explain chala? Chala, dechtiba. By chala, it says beferush mireshit arisotechem titnu la Hashem, and it calls it truma ledorotechem, right? So, and yet we just had before a minute ago hamekadesh betrumot, and remember trumot includes chala mikudeshet. So I thought you said if it says la Hashem that it doesn't belong to you. Well, I didn't mean only la Hashem. I mean it. If it says both that it's if it says that it's Kodesh Lasha, but here it doesn't say it's Kodesh. Well, what about Shvi'it? Shvi'it says Kodesh, where it says, Yovelu Kodesh Tielachem, and yet, as we saw earlier, Mekadesh B'Pero Shvi'it Mekudeshet. I didn't mean only Kodesh, I mean it has to say Kodesh, and it has to say Lashem. So if it says Kodesh, that means it's separated, dedicated for other purposes. This is Lashem, it is to the Lord and not to doing other things like marriage with. And you need both of those. And you don't have both of those by any other case. Not by Yovel, Shvit, Trumat Maaser, Chala. The only place where we find it is by Maaser Sheni specifically. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, becomes Maaser Sheni, can't use Maaser Sheni for Kiddushin. Ah, but what about Truma itself? We know that by truma, it says, Vare truma, Dichtiv Kodesh Yisrael La Hashem. So you have both Kodesh and La Hashem, and it calls it Reshit Tvuato. Now, Reshit Tvuato obviously is a remez to truma, which is called Reshit Tvuatecha. Now, how do you explain that? And it says, as we just saw, HaMekadesh b'trumot mekudeshet. Well, what are you asking over there? It's not talking about truma. It's talking about Yisrael. I mean, it says Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Ahu b'Yisrael k'tiv. Well, I mean, it's just like a metaphor. So what if it's a metaphor? But v'lam ha'melech shamatmin. I mean, you don't use a metaphor. That doesn't make any sense. If you're telling me Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Why? Because it's reishit trumato, right? Reishit tvuato, which means it's truma. So you're telling me that truma is Kodesh Hashem. I mean, otherwise it's a little bit silly to use it as a metaphor. I don't care if it's a metaphor. But it means we're taking for granted that truma is Kodesh Hashem. And you said that if you're Mekadesh b'truma, it is Kedushin. Tirgama Ravin Saba, Kameda Rav, so Ravin Saba explained when Rav was standing there that you guys missed the entire point. The drasha was from the word who. It says Lashem who. Lashem who, remember, who is always the word for existential continuum. Bahavayato, in its existence, in its existential state, yehei. That's where it remains. If you're saying, so therefore Lashem who, you're telling me under all circumstances, this is its definition, its identity. Doesn't say that in any of the other cases. So therefore, if you have now that statement, it's telling you that the truma is defined always. Bavayatan, it has to be Lashem. Which means you can't use it for Kedusha. It doesn't say that by truma, not by Truman Maaser, not by Challah, not by Shemitah, not by Yovel. So don't ask me. Rabbi Meir has a unique situation over here. All right, so that explains Rabbi Meir Shita. When it comes to the din of Maaser, that doesn't matter when you use it, basic, b'shoki, what's the difference? It's not your money. How can you be Mekadesh a woman without using your own money? When it comes to Behegdesh, so then b'mezid kidesh b'shoki eglo kidesh, says Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda says b'shoki kidesh b'mezid lo kidesh. So we have a really strange situation in which Agliba Rabbi Yehuda, where Maaser Sheni is your own money, nonetheless, b'shogeg, for some reason, it's not a good kedushin. And that we didn't bother explaining. And then we have this other situation about the question of whether the woman is mitkadeshet, b'shogeg over here when it comes to Kodesh. Why would Rabbi Meir say b'shogeg, it's not a good kedushin? Is there a difference in terms of whether the money... Remember, by Me'ila, when we're talking about Hegdash, this does not occur by Maaser. It's not in Me'ila by Maaser. So there's no Yitzia L'chulin because you use the money of Maaser, the fruits of Maaser. When it comes to Hegdash, if Rabbi Meir suggests that B'mezid it would be a good Kiddushin, now that's because, obviously he holds, that money of Hegdash when misused, you use it in a transaction, becomes chulin. That's called Mitchalel. So ma'ot of hegdash or mitchalalot. So if that's the case, so why b'shogeg lo kidesh? I don't understand. So there's two issues really remain unaddressed in the Mishnah. And indeed, says Rabbi Yaakov, you know, Rabbi Yochanan explained those two issues to me. The only problem is I can't remember. but Rabbi Yochanan, Shemamin and Rabbi Yochanan Tarti, he explained both of the problems in the Mishnah. One problem was shigagat ma'aser to Rabbi Yehuda. Why in the world Rabbi Yehuda would say that if you use Maaser Sheni to be Mekadesh, it's not good. I mean, obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds if you do it B'mezid, it is good, so he must hold it's your own money. So why if you do B'shogeg, is it not good? And he also explained to me, she got Hegdesh, according to Rabbi Meir, why would it not be good? I mean, if you did Me'ila, so then the money is yours. So why in both cases, Shnehem and Yishem Mekadesh et Behem, and he gave me two reasons, except I can't remember which reason matches which explanation. So he said one reason was choda was because l'fisha ein isha rotza. One was because the woman wouldn't want it, and one was because both of them don't want it. Okay, v'choda l'fisha ein shneihem rotzim. Darn it, I can't remember which one was which. But lo yadana, I mean, now I can't figure out like how it's supposed to match up. Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, well, I mean, you know, we have brains. Why don't we use them? And forget about what he told you. Let's figure it out. So nivzei anan, okay? I mean, it makes a lot of sense to say, but it seems to me that when you're talking about using maaser, okay, over there, Rabbi Yochanan must have said, she doesn't want. Why doesn't she want? She doesn't want mishum tircha de urcha. She doesn't want because since the peirot of maaser are only edible to her in Yerushalayim, why in the world would she want to take for kedushin something that's going to really put her out? So if he's trying to be makar, she doesn't want to hassle. You want to give me something? If I would have known it was maaser, I would have said no. Go give me something that I don't have to hassle with. So therefore, if she knows and it's bemazed, okay, she obviously is willing to accept it. But if she didn't know, we'd have to assume that at that point, if she finds out and she says, forget it, that ain't a chinami, it's not a good kedushin. Whereas when it comes to Hegdesh, there it makes sense that neither of them would want. Hegdesh tarvayu lo nechalu, neither of them are interested in being the agents of a bad thing. I mean, the fact that Hegdesh should be mitchalel is bad news. So, I mean, as far as he's concerned, let's go back and skip the piece over here. So, iu lo nechala, she doesn't want to use maaser, mishum tirchu d'urcha, because it's too much trouble. Iu, mashen kein the male, he's perfectly happy, he gets a wife for free, almost, right? I mean, so nechala de nikne itta memela, he's getting a woman without having to pay very much, because he's just saving himself the hassle of eating maaser sheni in Yerushalayim. Wow, what a sucker. So he got her, and now it's great. Mashenkim, when it comes to Hegdesh, Tarvayu lo nechlu, neither of them would be interested. The Natchil Hegdesha Yadayo, that Hegdesh should become chulin through their accidental. I mean, had they known, why would I want, says the woman, I would want to be the agent of using Hegdesh and taking money from Hegdesh. I never would have wanted such a thing. And he would say the same thing. Oy, 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 had I known I was taking money from Hegdesh, I never would have taken money from Hegdesh. So there, basically what we're talking about in both cases, Reb Yaakov was explaining, that Reb Yochanan said, it's not really a fundamental issue, it's a psychological issue. So the question over here is whether we should take into consideration what it is that we should assume the woman would have wanted, whereas Rabbi Yehuda could be saying, well, no, just the opposite. I mean, at least by Hegdesh, once you've done the Kedushin, the money is chulin because it was Yotzei chulin. So what am I going to now second guess what I should have done? That's not the point. I have money and I'm happy. When it comes to Maaser, even after I have the money, I'm not happy because I still have to go up to Yerushalayim. So he says it in the opposite way. But you can certainly see that we're not talking about anything very fundamental here. So Rabbi Zera now said this to him. You know, I don't know what's your... I mean, Rabbi Yirmiyah said this to Rabbi Yaakov. What do you mean you can't figure it out? I mean, what's wrong with using your brain? So it makes a lot of sense, right? Says Rabbi Yaakov, well, maybe it makes a lot of sense to you. I would say even the opposite. You know, to you everything is so simple. I can explain to you why maybe it's the exact opposite. Ibcha mistav, actually, okay? Couldn't you say like this? And now you understand why I don't know? Milo ikalamimra, is it so impossible for you to entertain the notion that maybe just the opposite? That maybe when it comes to maaser, neither of them want. She doesn't want, ilo nechala, like you said, because why should she be hassled to go up to Yerushalayim? So she would much rather, had she known it was maaser, she would have said, forget about it, give me regular things. But he also doesn't want. Why? Ilo nechala, mishum unsa de urcha. He doesn't want it because of the fact that she may be attacked on the way and never make it to Yerushalayim. So why is that a problem? I mean, the money he gave her and the fact that something happened afterwards is irrelevant, isn't it? So Rashi says two pshat. The pshat that is easy to understand that everybody accepts is the very contemporary pshat. She will never let him forget that he gave her kedushin, which the only thing she got out of his rotten kedushin was getting waylaid and not even having any pleasure from it. And it started that way, and it's been that way every day since. And this 50 years later, she's going to remember. Every time something goes wrong, you remember how it started, don't you? So this guy's not so stupid to want to give her something that she's going to be able to throw at him for the rest of her life. That's the simple pshat. So therefore, he wouldn't want it. Had he known it was Maaser, he wouldn't want it. That's Rashi's second pshat. Now, Rashi says another pshat first, which creates a lot of problems, and everybody discusses what is Rashi trying to say. Rashi, in the first pshat, says he does not want to be responsible for the insurance of Unsa D'Urcha, because he needs to be the one that takes out the insurance policy. Everybody questions, why does he need to be the one that takes out the insurance? So some learn that Rashi obviously is learning that the peirot were only worth a shava pruta in Yerushalayim, which means that if now there's an additional expense associated with these peirot, then he doesn't have a shava pruta. Since part of the expense of these peirot, their value includes the insurance value, so he has to pay for the insurance policy, because otherwise he didn't give her a shava pruta. But others, Steinamen, where in the world would Rashi get the idea that we're talking about a case dafka where we'd be worth a shava pruta? So someone at Taina is very interesting. One of the Rishonim is called the Shita Lo Nod Alamig. It's anonymous. It's an anonymous sheet, and we've never been able to figure out who the writer was, but it's a very mekubal Rishon on Kedushin. And he suggests that the idea over here is that since even Aliv and Rabbi Yehuda, you can only eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, that up until the time it gets to Yerushalayim, indeed, it's the equivalent of Mamon Gavoa, Aliv and Rabbi Meir, and it's not yours. So it becomes yours, as you gave her something, when it's in Yerushalayim, we're over there, since it's roi for you to eat, it's roi for you to be Mekadosh, because he doesn't dash the Lashemu. But up until there, it's your responsibility. So if it doesn't get there, then you didn't give her Kesef Kedushin. So Memela, Rashi is saying, not because it's a Shava Pruta, but because it will only be yours if you're including the insurance costs. Okay. Then you never gave her the Kedushin. It's not that you have to replace it. It's that you didn't give her Kedushin. If this thing is be'etzem worth money because it includes the insurance that will recover its loss, so then ein hachinami, then it's worthwhile. Okay, I mean, you could see this. That's the big, big issues here that have to do with the money of Kedusha coming in later when the kinyan is chal, partial payment, and the rest of it needing to be collected when it's pachas b'shavar pruta. Vast sugya of Rashi's first pshat over here. So the easiest way to go is the cartoon, because it's like very straightforward. So Rabbi Yaakov is simply saying, nobody's that dumb to put himself into a position of giving money to a woman that can be used. This will be used against you for the rest of your life, okay? So that's the reason. Perhaps, I said Rabbi Yaakov, maybe Rabbi Yochanan meant that is the reason. Neither of them would have wanted to get into such a thing, okay? Mashenki, when it comes to the Hekdesh, perhaps we should say the opposite. So we could say, Bishlema E, look, certainly the woman, she gets nothing out of it. I mean, why in the world would she have wanted to be Mekabel Kedushin, where the act of the Kabbalat Kedushin is going to end up causing Hekdesh to be Mitchalel? She wouldn't want that. She said, well, we're going to start off our marriage by doing an Isser. What for? I don't get anything from it. Give me regular money. Why would I want this money? So she didn't know. We have to assume it's a Kedushi Tot. Mashain Cain, as far as he's concerned, I mean, look, you know, he thinks to himself, well, I didn't realize I was doing something wrong, but I sure as heck saved a lot of money on that diamond ring. It's great to have a Hekdesh pay for it. You know, so over there the money is Mischalel. Ah, he's going to owe that money to Hekdesh. Okay, you know, a bird in the hand is better. That's the way he's looking at it. Maybe didn't have any money right now. Now he gets himself a diamond ring off the money of Hekdesh. So fine. So he doesn't, it's not considered to be Kedush Ta'ut. So I don't see why you're so absolutely certain which way Rabbi Yochanan meant the logic. But in any event, both approaches over here are approaches that are psychological, not approaches that have to do with the underlying dinim of whether it's possible to be Mechal and the Mos Hekdesh. So Bo Minei Rava Mirav Chista, I'm just curious about the way you're learning this, says Rava. Are we saying over here that this has to do with the nature of marriage? In other words, so she doesn't want there to be her as the object of the yitzia. But so she's not mitkadesha. What would be the din about the money itself? I mean, the money was used for a kedushin which she refused to acknowledge. So is that basically taking the money now and being nene from it and using it for something else, is that going to be motzi the money l'chulin? Says Rav Chisa, what are you talking about? If there's no kinyan, what was motzi the money l'chulin? If isha ain't mitkadeshet, so ma'otech etzu l'chulin. The only way the money is yotzu l'chulin is when a transaction takes place that now puts this money into a different milieu. But over here, no transaction took place. So what, but the discussion is going to be motzi et l'chulin. I have another question. I mean, part of the discussion that we had over here was the psychology of the woman in the course of Kiddushin, I mean, which certainly may have something to do with we're starting our life together and why would we use Hegdesh? But I mean, suppose you went to buy a field. Would it be the same thing? So if you went now to Mecher, you want to buy a toaster oven or whatever. So would be the din b'mecher mai. Would you say the same thing? Omalai, absolutely. After Mecher, lo kona. There's no kinyan where you don't know that you were using money of Hekdesh. You never would have intended to be motzi mos. I mean, me'ela, but this comes out to be a very strange thing, because what it means is, if you're saying that, what it means is that according to Rebbe Meir, there is never a case of me'ela b'shogeg by using money of Hekdesh. Because it's obviously a mekach ta'ut, because you never would have wanted it. But that means that all the discussions that we had of shogeg by me'ila would only be in cases where you were nene from Hegdash, but not where you did a transaction, because the transaction would be canceled. And put these two things together, these two ma'amorim of Rav Chisda, that if the transaction is canceled, there's no me'ila, A. B, any transaction will be canceled, not only Kiddush. What do you end up with? There's never a case of a transaction, b'shogeg, of Mos Hegdesh that will cause me'ila, which means all the cases that we had like that are not like Rebbe Meir, the way Reb Chisda is understanding it, correct? So where would you have me'ila b'hegdesh, b'shogeg, alibet Rebbe Meir, only where you were actually nehenem in a hegdesh? So you stuck your hand into a barrel of oil that was hegdesh. So now you had skin softening that was worth a shavar pruta. Whatever. But it's certainly not cases where a transaction was the source of the din of me'ila. Because remember, there are two very, very different inyanim of me'ila. One is the direct hana'ah that you get from hegdesh of a shavar pruta. The other is utilization of mos hegdesh that removes it l'chulin. And according to Rabbi Meir, the second one doesn't exist b'shogeg, because you never would have wanted for that transaction to be chal, which is remarkable. And in fact, it's very, very easy to challenge. And we do indeed. We challenge it right now against Rav Chisda. Eitve. Chen v'nike ba'alabayit divrei Rebbe Meir. Now, the question over here began with a discussion of a deposit in a bank. Now, remember, in those days, the bank was literally a bank, which comes from the benkel, which means the little bench that the shulchani sits on. Of course, the Jews refer to the table, not to the benkel, but it still is called the bank. Okay, so now nowadays we have two modes of deposit. One is you give in cash. The bank uses the cash and promises you that you'll be able to get the cash back. And the other is a safe deposit box, where the bank isn't supposed to touch what you put in there, and you get it back at Surato. Well, that was true in those days also. You could give a shulchani, you could give him a sealed box, which then was not meant for him to use, or you could give the shulchani cash, in which case the shulchani can use the cash, and your assumption when you give it to the shulchani is that that cash is going to be used, and you're going to get other cash back when you want your cash back, right? I mean, actually, you didn't use banks that much for storage in those days. It was more a question of money changing and putting your coins into larger coins or smaller coins being parate. But in any event, that would be the rule. So the question is like this. Suppose you deposit in a bank a closed container of Mos Hegdesh.
Let me just add an additional point.
The coins
were more likely to wear out then. So it was a good investment for people to say, instead of my keeping all these putos and then not decaying, whatever it is, I know I have that credit, he's using it, and I have to worry about
Could be. I mean, it wasn't a primary function of a Shulchan Aruch storage. So it was only short-term kind of things anyway. Okay, so but over here, the guy comes in the morning, puts this down by the Shulchan Aruch. So now, if it was Mos Hegdesh, so then that means that, for all intents and purposes, the Shulchan Aruch was empowered as a shliach to utilize that money for buying and selling, and then whatever, either I'm going to get a piece of the action, I won't get it, depending on the type of deposit it was, but bottom line is, I'm telling the Shulchan Aruch to be Motzi Mos Hegdesh, and that means the Shulchan Aruch would be Moel, okay? On the other hand, if I give it to a friend of mine, and I hand over my wallet, obviously he can't use the wallet, but even if I hand him over cash and I ask him to keep this money for me, he's not supposed to be using that money. I just asked him to hold that money. He can't say, oh, I used the money you gave me, here's the other money back. I never told you to use that money. So that's assumed to be the case over there. And over there, there's no question that if the Balabayit takes that money that was Hegdesh, he was not empowered to do so by the one who deposited it, and therefore it's his problem. And he was the one who was Moel. So we're talking about a Gizbar who did this, and a Gizbar certainly is not giving him the right to use the money. Now, that's the background. Now we have a Machlokas over there, what the din is if you give that type of deposit to a storekeeper. So you ask the guy at the cash register to hold this money for you. Is a cash register the equivalent of a bank, or is the cash register the equivalent of a friend? That's the question. So it's, do we assume that when somebody gives cash to somebody who has a cash register, he knows he's going to need to use this cash for change, and he expects him to use that cash, in which case it's the Gizbar's problem for giving him over Mos Hegdesh, or is the cash register the equivalent of asking a friend to hold money for you? Fine. So then we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Meir says the cash register is no different than a friend. He didn't have a right to use it. Chan v'nika balabayit, and therefore if he does use it, he's responsible. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, everybody knows that at a cash register, you're going to have to use the money, and therefore it's the equivalent of giving it over to the Shulchani. But for heaven's sakes, everybody is agreed. I mean, adkan lo kamiflage, the only big machlokas over here has to do with what the assumptions are about cash registers, right? Okay, so one man, the Amar holds a chenveni is like a shulchani, and therefore the balabayit is mal, which is Rabbi Meir Shita, and Rabbi Yudhisava, the shulchani is called balabayit, and therefore the chenveni now over here is, vice versa, and therefore if he's kabalabayit, so then the one who is mo'al is the balabayit, so to speak, the chenveni. But certainly everybody is moda. How can you possibly say that according to Rabbi Meir, a transaction that is not a kosher transaction is batel, and therefore there won't be any me'ila? Well, here Rabbi Meir is saying openly that my only question is whether he was supposed to use the money. But certainly if he used that money, there's going to be me'ila. Right? I thought you said there's no me'ila since he didn't know about it. It's a shogeg. He never meant it. Transaction is batal. So what are you talking about? Oh, says Rav Chista, you misunderstand that whole discussion. That was Rabbi Meir speaking to Rabbi Yehuda. He wasn't saying what he holds. Basically, what Rabbi Meir was saying was like this. Lididi, look, man, as far as I'm concerned, we've got nothing to discuss over here, because no matter who uses that money, there's not going to be any me'ila, because the transaction is going to be canceled since he didn't mean to do it. So the DD, as far as I'm concerned, imotzi namilomal. Even if he used the money anyway, there was no me'ila, so this whole thing is a moot discussion. But amila didach, you say that there is me'ila. At least admit, odili miat, I mean, at least agree with me, that a chenvani does not have a right to use it, therefore the Gizbar didn't empower him, and he has the din of a balabayit, to which Rabbi Yehuda says, absolutely not, I do not agree with you, not about this either. And I say that he has a din of a shulchani, lo kashulchani, but this does not prove what Rabbi Meir himself holds about transaction made with money of Hegdesh. Omar Rav, says Rav, look, this is, I'm telling you right now, this is wrong, okay? I made a very careful analysis of every place that Rabbi Meir discusses the din of Me'ila on cash. And chazarno al kol tzadim shel Rabbi Meir. I've looked through every single location where Rabbi Meir mentions the din of Hekdesh. And even though it says in this Mishnah, b'shogeg lo kidesh, I want you to know that the logic behind this is not because there was no chilul. Because I looked all over, and there's no nafkamina, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, v'lo matzino hekdesh b'shogeg ein mitchalel, b'mezid kein mitchalel. There's simply no such thing, okay? There's no such thing. There's no nafkamina between shogeg and mezid, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir at all. And if that's the case, forget about everything that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that there is such a thing as me'ila, the avayir, b'moz, hekdesh, therefore, there's no such a thing, rather, of me'ila. The din is that there is me'ila, and that it's nafak l'chulin, and there'd be no nafkamina, whether you knew about it, you didn't know about it. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, aren't you? Because you're saying, what do you mean? Okay, excuse me, but what do you mean? You looked all over, but you didn't find. Did you look in Masechet Kiddushin? Daf Nun Gemel. I mean, over there it says, Beferish, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, that Beshogeg, it's not going to be Mael, no. And the money remains Hekdesh, and it wasn't Mitchalil. So what are you talking about? So I will explain to you what I'm talking about, okay? Mishnatenu, our Mishnah, is talking about a unique case. It's talking about a case where indeed there's fundamentally, that's the issue over here, there's fundamentally no me'ila. And what would that be? Think for a moment about a Kohen.
His me'il.
His me'il. Exactly. A Kohen is wearing bigday kohuna. Okay? You're a Kohen. All right. Now, you're doing your Aveda. You're doing your Aveda, and you finish doing your Aveda, and your cell phone rings. Okay. And now, you are still wearing your bigday kohuna. And you are a full 30 seconds from your locker, which contains your clothing. Now, your options right now are miss your cell phone call, which is your girlfriend that you've been waiting to hear from. Take the cell phone call, but strip naked right now, because after all, you're not allowed to be wearing any of the big day kahuna. What are you going to do? So what are you going to do? So obviously, the Torah was not given to angels. It was given to humans. Humans are unable to strip instantly when they finish doing the Aveda, run and get their clothes. I mean, it's ridiculous. So it must be that the big day kahuna were given to you to wear until you're able to change into your clothes, which means that basically there is no me'ila on the big day kahuna unless you intend it to be male. And you intended to say, look, forget about my being an angel. I'm a rotten, no good thing. And I want to take this thing and pay my college bill with it. Okay, so then there's me'ila. But clearly, Rabbi Meir would have to say that by definition, the big day kahuna in being given to you to use are being given to you to use and not to be me'ila. So that's what we're talking about over here. Mishnatenu bekotnot kahuna shelo balo. We're talking about you've got your shirt on as a Kohen, and this shirt is still perfectly usable. If the shirt weren't usable, then you would be male, interestingly enough, right? Because at that point, it wasn't given to you to use, because now it's dirty or it's worn out, and you're not allowed to work in the Beis Hamikdash with clothing that isn't perfect. So that would have to go into the clothing backup to be used for other purposes. But some of the things we use for wicks, that's mehem nehem, but that would remain awesome. It's not considered to be nasa mitzvato, because it's a din of a klisha right here. The Tosis discusses that whole problem. But since over here you are allowed to use this clothing, and since it's a given, lefi shelo nitna Torah lemalachei hasharet, the Torah was not given to angels. It was given to humans. And humans are going to need to have time between the use of the big dekuna and their own personal clothing, which must mean that the Torah is not, I mean, it's not assigning you, okay, boys, run, you've got 30 seconds. So that's not the way it works. So because of that, it must be that the big day kahuna were not given for you to be me'ilin. If you use the big day kahuna, there we're talking about where Rabbi Meir says, oh, if that's the case, b'shogeg, then they could not don't have me'ila. If they don't have me'ila, they don't belong to you. If they don't belong to you, no kedushin. It's very straightforward. It has nothing to do with all of these issues that you're making up over here. That the hekdesh is not mischalil when it comes to bishok. It's not nafkamina at all.
Is this called hekdesh?
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's David Zeh. Correct. All right. Tosis does have a problem, which is that a kli sharet, and these things apparently are kli sharet, the din is that they're never yotze l'chulin. Kli sharet isn't yotze l'chulin b'chalal. In which case, this whole thing doesn't make much sense. So Tosfos learns that it's talking about over here bigdei kahuna, which have not as yet been mechunach for the Aveda. Correct. Toshma, says the Gemara, well, what are you going to do with this? Kotnot kuna shebalu, ma'alim ben, divrei Rabbi Meir. Here it says, if they got worn out, then there's going to be me'ila. And Rabbi Meir says there's going to be me'ila. And I mean, I'm assuming that even though it does say that they were worn out, the only chiddush in that is to tell me, even though they were worn out, and you would think that therefore they're the equivalent of nasa mitzvatan, and normally hekdesh, which is now used up, is no longer moel. The chiddush is, even though it was nasa mitzvatan, nonetheless moelim. But I mean, I'm assuming that ma'alav afilu lo balu, even if they hadn't been worn out, they would still be moel. Says Gemara, no, that is a wrong assumption. Balu dafka, to be continued. Maaser sheni ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid lo kidesh divrei Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda omer shogeg lo kidesh mezid kidesh mino ani mile omer v'acha b'rei d'rabba mishmeti Gemara v'chol maaser aretz mizera aretz b'preitz l'Hashem hu kodesh l'Hashem l'Hashem hu v'lo l'kadesh bo isha. What? Are Chumat Maser Dechtiv Kentarim Gamatem Chumat Hashem Utzanam Akadish Bechum Mekudeshet Dolokhtiv Be La Hashem. Okay, Chala Dechtiv Be Titu La Hashem Utzanam Akadish Bechum Mekudeshet Dolokhtiv Be Kodesh. Ah, come on. Okay, to Shviat Dechtiv Be Yovelu Kodesh Yelachem Utzanam Akadish Beperot Shviat Mekudesh. Ah, Dolokhtiv Be La Hashem. You need both. Okay, and Truma, Dechtiv Kodesh, Yisrael Lashem, Reishit Vuato, Utsanam Kadesh Betrumot, Mekudeshet. It's not talking about Trumot, that's talking about Yisrael, man. So, Vulab Mamela Shvamina, Tirgamo Rovin, Saba Kamedarav, Omar Kro, who? That's the point, Baba Yato Yehe. Ubehegdesh, Bemezit Kidesh Beshogig, Lokidesh, Ibrahim, Rabbi Yudam, Rabbi Shogig, Kidesh, Bezit Lokidesh. Om Rabbi Yaakov, look, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan Shvamina about both of the issues in this Mishnah. Don't make any sense. Tarte. One where she got Maaser to Rabbi Yudah, one where she got Hegdesh to Rabbi Meir. Both cases, Eina Yisham and Kadesh Behem. And he explained, Chodah Lefishen Isha Rotsa, V'chodah Lefishen Shnehem Rotsim. And Darnet Lo Yadana Haminai. On Rabbi Yudah, well, what's wrong with using your brains? Nichse Anan. Maaser Iyilo Nechala, Mishom Tirad Urcha. But Iyu Nechala, because he gets free ride. So Nikni Tetami Meila. Mashiach, when it comes to Hegdesh, Tarvayu Lo Nechalu Denatchal Hegdesh Ayadayu. Says Rabbi Yaakov, well, you're so sure about your brain. I mean, maybe Ipcha Mistavra. I mean, Lo Ikala Meimar Maaser Iyilo Nechala, Mishom Tirad Urcha. But Iyu also Lo Nechala, Mishom Unsa Nurcha. Mashiach, when it comes to Hegdesh, I mean, she may be Lo Nechala. Because why should she be the agency of not Hegdesh al Yada? Avaliyu milo nechla de nikne yitzta memela? Boi minei rama mirav nachman. In a case where isha ain't mitkadeshet, the ma'ot ma'oshi yetzulachulin. Oh, ma'alei, what's the matter with you? If the isha ain't mitkadeshet, how's the ma'ot yetzulachulin? Boi minei rabchia barabim rabchista. Bemecher ma'i. Ma'alei ap bemecher lo kana. And those two things add up to a massive chiddush, which is that Alibet Rabbi Meir, there's no such thing as Me'ila through a transaction, B'shogeg, in which case, Eitve, Chen v'nike ba'ala ba'idev Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yerama, Chen v'nike shulchani. Note that at kan loka miflage, elo demar sova chen v'nike shulchani, mar sova chen v'nike ba'ala ba'id. But certainly, kule yamar meida, that l'maisi motzi ma'al, somebody. No, not true. Rabbi Meir, l'dvar the Rabbi Yerakama. Look, ledidi imotzi nami lomal, but ledidach at least totally miyat techen v'nikabalabayit. To which Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, I'm not voted to you." Lo kashulchani. Omar Rav, this is no good. Chazanu akol atzadim shorav yimeir v'lo matzino hegdish b'shogeg ein mitchalel b'meizim tchal anywhere. So therefore, the Mishnah's got to be a unique case. What would be that unique case? V'shotenu bekotnot kiuna shelo ba'u hoel v'nitnu le'enot v'hem l'fi shelo nitna Torah l'malachei asharei. Aye, the brayta says Tashma, kot not kuna shebolu mo'alim be'ev divrei Rabbi Meir. And I'm assuming my lava filu lo balu, lo balu dafka.